5, 4, 3, 2, 1, player one, ready, go!
Hello everybody and welcome to Player One here on Sin. You are joined by Zach and Ravindu for your Monday evening talking all things gaming. Before we jump into the show, we'd just like to acknowledge and pay our respects to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boomerang language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands Sin's office and studio stand and from which we broadcast. And we extend this respect to the traditional custodians and peoples of the lands and waters our content reaches. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Ravindu, how are we doing?
I'm excited to be back on air with you.
Excited to be back on air. Great. It is your second week in the studio.
Yes, it is.
Oh, exciting. Have you been playing good games this week?
Oh, 100%. That's the real question. 100%. I think 100%. All the games I play are good games.
All the games you only play good games exclusively.
I do my extensive research, wait for like 6 months before I buy a game, so they're vetted before I play them.
Yeah, fair. Well, we'll be talking about what we've been playing a bit later. If you want to get in touch with us and let us know what you've been playing, you can jump on our Instagram, that is at @PlayerOneSyn, PlayerOneSYN, all one word on Instagram. But yeah, let us know, what have you been playing? Anything good? Anything bad? Have you vetted anything for Ravindu? Personally, we need recommendations, you know?
Please send me the game recs.
Yeah. And you can also catch our past shows on our podcast. Just search Player One wherever you get your podcasts. We're everywhere, probably. And if we're not, do better. Look somewhere else. That's on you, not on us, I swear.
I typed in Sin, it was like literally everywhere on the webpage.
Incredible. See what you can accomplish when you put your mind to it and look us up on podcast platforms. All right, moving on. We have a pretty packed show coming up. Of course, going through the news headlines and new releases. Then talking about the games we've been playing. Do you want to give a primer of Indu? What's something you've been playing this week you're keen to jump into?
Right off the bat, I want to talk about 2 Point Campus, published by Sega. Uni starting this week, so what better game to mark that and a university management game?
University management. Did you ever play 2 Point Hospital?
No, I did not.
No. I haven't played either of them, but they look very fun.
They are very fun. It's adorable art style. It's intense. It gets up there by like the first couple of years when you're first like starting off the campus. It's like money problems everywhere.
And you're just describing the uni experience.
That's why I started playing it.
I was back on campus this way. I was back on campus today. I was like, oh, God.
Yep. I got lost.
Well, I'm very keen to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about Inscription, because I started playing that last night, and I already have a lot to say. So stay tuned. You are listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu. How are you going?
I'm doing good.
Doing good? You were doing great last week. What's happened?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great? Oh, we love to hear it. All right, we're going to hit you with some news headlines because it's been a somewhat busy week in terms of announcements. Of course, there was the Nintendo Direct Partner Showcase last week. Did you catch that one?
I didn't catch it live, but I did look at it after.
Yeah, so a couple of highlights. I'm not going to talk about everything because there was a lot that's kind of coming out, but a couple of highlights. Disney Epic Mickey Rebrushed.
When I first saw that, I audibly gasped. I haven't thought about Epic Mickey in like 10 years, and here we are.
I don't think anyone's thought about Epic Mickey in about 10 years. Did you play the original?
I played a little bit.
I think I played it at a friend's house, because I think I had a co-op mode on the Wii, and seeing that it's getting a remake, I was like, oh, I was not expecting that.
No.
I will be honest. So that's coming sometime in 2024. The announcement that stuck out to me the most is Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance. I have played Shin Megami Tensei 4 and SMT 4 Apocalypse and Persona 5, if that counts, although I think that's a different series by this point. Well and truly, it doesn't really count as a spinoff anymore, let's be honest. I don't like Atlus's release strategy, so how familiar are you with what they do with Persona games and Shin Megami?
Honestly,
mostly Persona games, but do it with Shin Megami.
Besides knowing the name, I don't really know.
They have a tendency, and by this I mean they just do it all the time, of they'll release a game, and then they'll re-release it later with like more content. Instead of just releasing the content as DLC, they'll just re-release the game but with like the DLC included. And it's very annoying because it means that you're never getting the full experience of the game. Like they did Persona 5 and then they did Persona 5 Royal. They did Persona 4 and they did Persona 4 Golden. And they do it all the time. They do it all the time. And now they're doing it with Shin Megami Tensei 5, I believe. I believe it's not like DLC. It is like a re-release with more content, which is just bizarre. But I haven't played Shin Megami Tensei 5 yet, so I probably will pick this up at some point. Because it does look very cool. I do have a soft spot for that sort of series. I think the concept of like Pokemon, but it's demons based in like folklore and mythology is just really cool. And I did really enjoy 4 a lot. So yeah, I'll definitely take a look at that. That's June 21st. Anything else that stuck out for you?
I just wanted to point out, I did not know that P4 Golden was like P4 with the DLC. I thought it was just like a whole new, like just a remastered game.
No, so it's hard because it's not DLC. Like, that's not the right term. It is like, it's like a remake, but they change and add new content, but that new content kind of just amounts to DLC. It's kind of weird and hard to explain, but they do it all the time and it annoys me a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else from the direct that stuck out to you?
Just a quick shout out to Grounded. I think it's a pretty good game. Played a little bit on PC. It's coming to Switch. And focus on Gundam Breaker 4. I have not heard of the Gundam Breaker series, but I do like building Gunplas. And so a video game of that sounds pretty interesting to me.
I didn't know you went to Gundam.
I've only made like 2.
Oh, sick.
But I do want to make more.
Yep. Well, speaking of Grounded, we actually got confirmation of what Xbox titles are going multi-platform. So, Pentiment is coming to the Switch and the PS4 and PS5 on the 22nd of February. Hi-Fi Rush is coming to PS5 on 9th of March. Grounded coming to Switch, PS4 and PS5 on 16th of April. And Sea of Thieves coming to PS5 on the 30th of April. So, pretty much every game people were really expecting. There were the original talks of Starfield and Indiana Jones going multiplat as well, which doesn't look like it's happening, and they kind of said it's not. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it does at some point, but that's a later problem. For now, those are the 4 that we know are going multi-platform, and they are the games people were kind of expecting. So yeah, I'm very keen for Hi-Fi Rush. I'm kind of interested in playing Sea of Thieves as well. I've heard mixed things about it.
It's definitely fun in a group setting. You need everyone be on board.
On board?
Yeah. You can really lean into the LARPing of it as well. We didn't, unfortunately. But you can, like,
fully be a pirate.
Yeah. Like, there's, like, sing-along she shanties you can do to it.
Oh, that increased my keenness for this so much more. Sea shanties?
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing. Anyway, rounding out the week in kind of the big announcements, we finally got a look at Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree, which is coming 21st of June. I am very interested to see what this DLC ends up looking like, because I enjoyed Elden Ring. I didn't fall in love with it like a lot of other people did. How far into it did you get?
Not very far.
Not very far.
I think I spent way too much time in character creation, and then that's it.
See, I was like, I don't have the energy to make a character. I am just going. But, you know, I finished it, and I liked it, but I didn't love it. I really wanted to fall in love with it, though, but I was playing, I was like, this just isn't grabbing me that much. But the DLC still looks very interesting. It looks very cool. I'll say that. They're really doubling down on, like, the coolness of it, which I appreciate. I think personal opinion on the Souls series and like Bloodborne is sometimes I think they can get a little bit stuck in their own being miserable.
Mm.
They can, like, I get that they're going for like a dark atmosphere, but sometimes I think they just try a little too hard. And I like that it looks like Elden Ring with the DLC might be going in a bit more of a different direction. Although we'll have to wait till it actually comes out. And final piece of news for the week. Lady Gaga in Fortnite.
I'm hyped.
You're hyped? Are you a Fortnite player?
I've played a little bit, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Fortnite's fun.
Underlying all the issues with the fandom and stuff, it's a fun game.
Look, that can be said about so many games. Like, I would describe my time with League of Legends as unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't mind Fortnite. I think a lot of the brand crossovers are a bit much. And I Lady Gaga was not on the list to be in Fortnite.
I don't know if you heard, there was Nicki Minaj before.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I don't want to say natural progression, but...
You're not surprised?
Not really, because there was... there's been The Weeknd, there's been Travis Scott.
Is that Ariana Grande?
I think so. So
I know Marshmello did a concert.
Yep. So,
yeah. All right. Yeah, Lady Gaga's in Fortnite. That's the news. Oh, God. Moving on to the new releases, though. We've got a couple of small ones and one big one this week. Starting off February 28th, we've got Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons remake coming to PS5, Series X and S, and PC. And Star Wars Dark Forces Remastered coming to PS5, PS4, Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. On February 29th, the big one, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming to PS5. I think we'll chat about that in just a minute. And rounding out the week, March 1st, we've got Euphoria The Saga 2 coming to PS5, Series X and S, Switch, and PC. Final Fantasy VII, are you going to play it?
Unfortunately, I'm not really big into the Final Fantasy series.
You're not?
I haven't. Besides playing, like, Cloud in Super Smash, that's about it.
Super Smash Bros. You know, I respect that. I have not played Remake yet of 7. I want to, but I'm also hesitant to, because it's directed by the same person who made Kingdom Hearts. And I love Kingdom Hearts, but that doesn't make me optimistic about the game.
Mm.
Because I also have a lot of problems with Kingdom Hearts. But I've heard it's quite good. And reviews have already come out for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. The general consensus is it is very good. And I have played the original Final Fantasy VII. I liked it. Didn't love it, but I did like it. I preferred Final Fantasy VI. Which I played on the mobile re-release, which is not the best way to play it, but I still enjoyed it for the most part. But yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on it. I'll pick it up at some point, but it's not like a must play for me.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of these games coming out this week are a must play for me either.
It is time for the playlist. So, kick us off. What you been playing?
I want to give a shout out to you. For
me? Ooh.
Giving me the Magic Survival... Kick.
It's a good game.
It is so good. I am actually addicted to it now.
It's so good, right?
It's so good. It ticks all the boxes that Vampire Survivor and those type of games do, but it's lightweight, it's mobile, and it just works.
Yeah, so Magic Survival is... Actually, no, you're the one who's talking about it. You give a little rundown of it.
Yeah, apparently it's the OG Survivor-like, which we did check, and it was released a good, like, 2-3 years before Vampire Survivor.
Yeah, I was talking to you before the show, and I was like, yeah, when I saw Vampire Survivors, I was like, wait, this looks really familiar to that. This looks a lot like that mobile game I've been playing for, like, 2 years at this point. Huh. And the names are really similar. Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a really good game, and it... does not get the recognition it deserves.
This is the chance to put it on the map. It's got the same like beats as Vampire Survivor. It's got enemy hordes. It's got bullet hell. It's fast, addictive gameplay. You got evolving weapons, passive augments, meta progress. It's just simple.
I will say, I think a lot of it is sort of shared, and one thing that I really do like about Vampire Survivors bringing this genre a bit more into the light is that there have been sort of mechanics that get shared and they kind of develop, and competition is good, so we like that. And because I've been playing Magic Survivor for like a while, I just randomly found it one day. I was like, I want a game to play on my phone, and I just found it by pure chance, and I was like, damn, this game kicks ass, this is really fun. So having played it for a while, it's seeing it get updated over time, because it's made by like one person. And a lot of the stuff that's in it now was not in it when I played it. Stuff looked completely different. The animations were really different. A lot of the abilities worked differently. Like the fusions, you know how you can combine your abilities if you get them to like a certain level? Yeah, that wasn't a thing.
Oh my God.
I think it was a thing, but they were like random. You couldn't like plan for them. Like you would just get the abilities and suddenly unlock a combined one without even knowing.
Right.
It was kind of weird. But seeing it develop is actually really, really fun because an update will just randomly drop and I'll be like, oh, wait, this is so cool. What?
Playing in 2024, it's an amazing game. And despite the art style, I think it has a lot of charm to it. It's so simple, but it conveys just like being swarmed by a bunch of enemies, which is the essence of these games perfectly. Like at one point, my screen was just like black from all the enemies.
Yep.
And then 2 seconds later, they're all gone. I'm like, that's all you need.
Demon Nail?
No. Arcane Ray, the nuclear fusion ray.
Yeah, that's
the green one that spins around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big damage. Yeah, no, great game. Highly recommend it. It's very, very fun. And it's very, very cool. Anyway, I have been also jumping into a bit of a roguelike this week because you spoke a lot about roguelikes and I was like, you know what? I want to jump back into these. I decided to give Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon a shot. So this is, it was released in 2021 and developed by Yacht Club Games and Vine based on the original Shovel Knight, which I love. I played so much of that back on 3DS. But this is, instead of being a 2D platformer, it's sort of a puzzle game, dungeon crawler, roguelike mashup, which...
That sounds interesting. I like all those things.
It's very fun. It's pretty simple. It's a little too simple at points, and there's not that much... Like, I played it, like, consistently for, like, 3 days, but I don't think it's going to have the same hook that something like Hades does, where I can still go back to Hades. Mm. I think once I kind of lose that initial, like, rush, I won't really want to jump back in as much. And I wish there was a bit more... I wish there was a bit more story, which sounds weird for a game like this, because it's Shovel Knight. The story doesn't need to be complex. But what I mean is, like, there's a bunch of playable characters. But all of them go through, like, the exact same story beats. And I just wish there was not even a different story, just some tweaked dialogue for some of them would be really, really nice. Because you just make it a bit more endearing. And it just doesn't quite have that, which is a bit disappointing, which... Yeah, but do not get me wrong. It is very, very fun. Like, very addictive. Very, like, quick to jump in. Very quick to play through. It's such a rush to go fast because it's kind of like the same rush of playing something like Candy Crush, where it's like, I'm not doing much, but I'm having fun anyway. But like, with those dungeon crawler mechanics, it's like, whoa. This is intense and, like, arcadey fun, which I like a lot.
Is it made by the same developers?
As Shovel Knight?
Yes.
So Yacht Club Games developed the original Shovel Knight. Yeah. This is made by them and another developer, Vine, who I believe used to do a bunch of, like, pixel art games, I believe, although I'm not 100% sure.
All right. Sounds fun.
What else have you been hitting up? You teased us earlier with Two Point Campus.
I did, yeah. I was going to jump into that. If you're a fan of Two Point Hospital, it covers the same developer, on the almost sequel to it. There was a DLC released called The Medical School. So I think that's just like, if you have that, don't really need to play Hospital. But yeah, it's a fun management game. It's if you like these intense, like, grindy stuff, gotta like micromanage everything, this is a perfect game. You gotta, students and staff all have like these levels of need, food, hygiene, like how good the building looks, and you just gotta manage all that, and hopefully no one fails and drops out of uni.
In the game or in real life?
Both.
No, that sounds kind of... I've seen the game a lot. I've seen like a fair few gameplay clips and whatnot, and I've always been like, it looks fun. But it also looks like it would stress me out.
You need to be in that, like, management sim kind of games.
Yep.
It's a lot more involved than, like, say, The Sims 4. It's not a life sim.
Is there a lot of, like, long-term management, or is it more, like, micromanaging things in the short term? Like, is there a lot of, like, planning, like, I'm going to do this now so that, you know, a year from now I can do this? Or is it more like, well, I have to do this, and now I have to manage this, and I have to manage this, and this, and this?
So... It's a bit of both. There are like short-term goals. If like a student is like hungry, then you place down a vending machine there. But you also want to plan out the whole year because there is a campaign mode. And it's like you got to get these campaign goals that like can stretch to like 5 years in game.
Okay. Right, right, right.
There is also a legally distinct wizarding school map in the game as well.
Okay, that's pretty sick. That's pretty sick. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about one more, and then we'll be back later to go a bit deeper into a few others. But I also have started, I don't have a lot to say yet, but I know I will have a lot to say next week, Inscription. I've been playing it on Switch. It is insane. And the reason I want to talk about it, even though I haven't played much yet, is I think you would really, really like Inscription. So it was developed by a guy named Daniel Mullins, who also made a game called Pony Island. Have you heard of Pony Island?
No, I have not.
I haven't played it, but I remember seeing it online. It was released around, I believe, around 2014-ish. I think it was around the same time as Undertale. And Undertale blew up, obviously. And Pony Island, a lot of people kind of compared it to it for having sort of similar meta elements, but going way deeper. And I've come to the conclusion that these games are absolutely insane. Pony Island, again, I haven't played it, but I do kind of know what it's about. You basically, it's a meta narrative where you're playing a game, but you're playing a game in the game, and that game is playing an arcade game which has been corrupted by Satan.
That's meta.
Yeah. And Inscription is very much a game about games as well. So it's a roguelike deck builder slash escape room game slash horror game, sort of. It's not that scary. It's kind of just very creepy. I will give a bit of a content warning that there is sort of a lot of, not a lot, but there's pretty intense, like, implied gore. There's not really a lot that's seen, at least from what I've played. There's a lot of, like, implied, like, something happening off screen, but not a lot that's directly shown. But the sound effects are pretty visceral. Like, they have kind of made me go, ooh, a few times. So just a heads up, if you're not great with gore, like, maybe take this one a little slow. And I have been spoiled for a lot of the big twists in this game. Which is really disappointing, because if I hadn't, like, go in blind, it will blow your mind. You start playing this card game against this, basically, the most insane DM who has ever lived. Who will, like, It just the way he narrates this adventure you go on is ridiculous and so over the top, and I love it. I have so much to say, but I also know I'll have so much more to say next week because I already know kind of some of the spoilers. But then at the same time as playing this card game, you have to try and escape this cabin that you're in, but you're also playing the game that's being played by someone else. It's insane. The way that I have kind of... The way that the game makes me think and feel, at least, is like watching a like live theater performance, right? Are you big on your live theater?
I've dabbled in a few.
Yeah. So have you ever been to like Shakespeare?
Not Shakespeare. No.
Okay. Well, my kind of thoughts are like, it feels like the characters in this game are kind of in on the performance. Like when you go to live theater, they don't try and hide the fact that they're actors. It's not like a movie where they try and like make you suspend your disbelief. Like actors will wink and nudge at the audience and will sometimes directly address the audience, right? Yep. A lot. And that's kind of the vibe, at least, that I'm getting from Inscription so far, is like the characters know they're in a game. They are playing it up for your entertainment. The DM, this DM character is like this terrifying character, but he is playing a character. It's very, very hard to describe.
Oh my god.
But very, very cool. And I do very much recommend it. Again, I will have so much to say next week. How you going, Ravindu?
I'm still doing great.
Oh, wow. You've passed the test. You're listening to Player One here on Sin. It is time for our deep dive into our games this week. So, I have been playing Okami this week, and I have a lot to say about Okami.
Lay it on me.
Okami is a game released in 2018 on Switch, which is what I've been playing, which is the HD remaster, developed by Capcom. it's been compared, or on release and kind of just always, it's been very much compared to The Legend of Zelda, like the traditional 3D Zelda games, not like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, but your standard, you know, Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker. And I love those games. I used to, at the very least, used to consider, like, probably The Wind Waker my favorite game. I still think I would say The Legend of Zelda is my favorite franchise, or, like, favorite series. So I have a lot of, like, I love those games. Okami has not grabbed me as much as I was hoping. It is very long, and it's not very well-paced, in my opinion.
That's a damn shame.
It's a damn shame, because there's so much about this game that feels like I should love it. It's based on, like, Japanese mythology, which is really cool. It looks gorgeous. Like, the paintbrush sort of watercolor aesthetic of the game is phenomenal. A lot of the mechanics are, like, fun, but they're not used in very fun ways, in my opinion. So, kind of the main gimmick of the game is you have a paintbrush that you can use to basically paint over the world and cause different effects. So if you paint a straight line, that's like a slash. If you paint a like circle with a line through it, that'll spawn a bomb wherever you've painted it, stuff like that. It's really cool, but it doesn't actually amount to that much. It's...
So just like for like one room, you make a bomb and that's never use it again type deal?
No, you use it throughout the game, but it's a really cool trick. Like, you do it the first couple times, you're like, wow, that's really cool. And then it kind of just amounts to every time, because these are basically items in a Zelda game, right? You get bombs in a Zelda game. You get, you know, like, weapons in a Zelda game that you use as your items to, like, weaken enemies and solve puzzles. And that's what this is kind of the replacement for. Yep. And I'm going to compare it to Zelda games a lot because it very, very much draws from that. The thing is, in a Zelda game, I just press a button and I have a bomb in my hand. And then I throw that bomb and I'm done. In Okami, you kind of have to stop and draw the symbol every time. And it kind of starts to get irritating after a little bit. You don't do it that often, but it happens often enough that I kind of start to get a bit annoyed. And that's my main issue with the game, is it's so stop and starty. It feels like I am like on a leash this whole time. I just want to go. I just want to play the game and go and explore and have fun and go on this adventure. But, like, so often will I walk into a room and get stopped to have, like, a line of dialogue, and I'll go through that dialogue, and then I'll walk forwards, like, five more steps, and then they will stop to do another line of dialogue.
Oh, like, my God.
Just let me play the game, please. And it's so irritating, which is really, really disappointing, because a lot of what's there is really fun, and a lot of the ideas it brings to that Zelda formula are really cool. It emphasizes combat a lot more, which is really, really cool, because combat in Zelda games is kind of meh most of the time. The problem is the combat's not good enough to justify being the main focus as well. It's really bizarre, because it feels like for every step it takes forward, it just takes a couple of steps back, which is really disappointing.
Describe to me, like, what the combat loop would be in this game.
So, enemies appear in the overworld. You can run into them to basically initiate an encounter. And it plays out like a sort of like a hack and slash.
Yeah.
You've got your attacks, you've got your dodge, and then you can use this, like, paintbrush to, like, weaken enemies. Some will have specific weaknesses to, you know, the, like, gust of wind you can create. Some are weak to fire, so you create fire, that sort of thing. And it works well. It's fun. It's just, there's a lot more enemies in this game than would be in, like, a traditional Zelda game. They kind of, there's not many puzzles in Okami, and instead of puzzles, there's combat.
Yeah.
And I don't think the combat is good enough to be that main focus, which is very disappointing.
Is there, like, basic attacks, or is it everything just, like, this brushstroke that you
No, you've got, like, a basic attack as well.
Okay.
Which can be very satisfying.
Yeah.
It's just often you'll have to expose the enemy's weakness using the brushstroke. And that's fine. I don't actually mind it that much. It's when I'm in the overworld having to, like, stop to use it constantly that I start to get a bit annoyed.
Yeah.
I will also say one last comment on the game is your companion character. So in old school Zelda games or traditional sort of 3D Zelda games, you've always got a companion character with you. You've heard of Navi, surely?
Yes. I've not played. I've only played the Breath of the Wild, but go on.
Yeah. Your companion in this game is a little bug man named Isun. He is the most annoying character I think I've ever encountered in a video game. Every line of dialogue, I cannot stand. He is the worst.
Are you familiar with Claptrap from Borderlands?
No, I've not played Borderlands.
Okay. Because while he is annoying, he is still funny.
Isun is not funny.
Okay, never mind.
Isun is not even attempting humor. He is everything I dislike in a video game character, pretty much. He is weirdly horny. And it's so obnoxious. And he interrupts your dialogue constantly. Like, he is the interruption constantly.
That seems just like a clash of aesthetics. Because I've seen gameplay of it. It's like this beautiful, like, Japanese waterbrushed game. And then you got some weird horny bug.
Yeah. It's very annoying. Like, I wish they just dialed it down, like, 10 points.
Oh.
And it would be okay. I'm okay with a character being a flirt, but doesn't every line, like, I kid you not, it's basically every line of dialogue, and I cannot stand him.
Yeah, that would get old and repetitive very quickly.
Yep. So, look, it's still a really, like, it is still a beautiful game, and I do still recommend it, but I'll see how I go with whether I finish this one or not, because it's pretty poorly paced, unfortunately. What about you, though?
I have the opposite game. I played a game that I love. I want to play it again. I mentioned it last time, The 11th Beast, a solo RPG made by Exuhin Press. I finally finished my first playthrough of it.
Ooh.
For those who don't know, it's a RPG where you are a monster hunter set in 1746 London. And you are part of the Secret Order, and you have to just try and slay it. But it plays a DM-less RPG.
You basically run the game yourself?
Yeah. Like, so I'm
based on the rules?
Yeah. Yep. Based on the rules, I do dice rolls for the monster and myself.
Right.
Yeah. But this playthrough, I died. The monster killed me.
What was, like, are the monsters always different, or is it kind of always the same? Just amorphous monster.
So, mechanically the same random table before the game starts and how to, like, generate it.
Right.
So, wish I had my notebook here, but I've generated, like, the gashing longhorn of Westminster or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, roll 3d6s, yeps. A, B of C.
Right, yep. So that just generates the name, and then you kind of can come up with the aesthetic yourself a little bit.
So that's the cool thing is, as a part of the game, you collect these rumors from the townspeople of London.
That's cool.
With the deck of cards. So diamonds describe how the attitude of the monster, whether it's like ferocious or like erratic. Hearts describes physical appearance. But then we don't actually know if it's true, but you have to, like, return to the home base in the game and confirm these rumors.
Right.
And there's their weapons and, like, effective, like, materials.
Yep.
So I had a bunch of rumors collected in my playthrough. I was like, okay, it's got a pig snout, it's got tentacles, it's erratic, it's nocturnal, and I can use rosemary shade against it. And on my way to the home base to confirm these rumors, I died.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
How long does a playthrough take?
That's the beauty of it. It's really doesn't take long. The gameplay is just like rolling dice. The fun comes from like almost LARPing. I was like full like writing journal entries as this monster hunter.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, I played for like about an hour and a half. Gameplay wise, I didn't really do much.
But God, I wish you had your journal here to get you to read it.
The final entry was like, I've perished.
Yes, I'm being slain by a monster. Let me whip out my journal real fast.
There was a bit of like, you know.
Well, I mean, that's a sort of note you would find in a video game on the floor somewhere,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, no, of course. Have you ever played Fallen London?
No, I've not.
Oh, it kind of sounds like similar vibe, kind of. It's like, it was like an online game I played a few years back where like you could explore this mystical version of London, and it was kind of not really an MMO because it wasn't, it's hard to explain. It was basically like a text-based RPG, but you could play it with other people.
Mm.
But anyway, it gives me sort of a similar vibe, and I do like that vibe. It sounds very cool.
Interesting.
But yeah, yeah. So recommend?
Oh, 100%. It also works. You can cut out all this journaling stuff and just play as a solo board game. Highly recommend.
You are listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu. It's 9:05. We're hitting the second hour of the show, and it is going to be a good hour coming up. What are we talking about, Ravindu?
We're going to talk about more games.
More games, because that's what we talk about here on Player One. We're going to be doing a quiz, because we love a good old quiz. We're going to be talking a bit about LARPing as well. So stay tuned. And let us know what you've been playing on our socials, at Player One Sin on Instagram. If you've been playing anything good, been playing anything bad. If you do LARP as well, let us know what your character's like. I'd be really curious to hear that. And how long we've been doing it, let us know all those good details. If people want to find the podcast, where can they find us?
You can find our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, etc.
All the good places, just search Player One. You are listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu, where we talk all things gaming and we put each other to the test. It's time for the quiz. How are you feeling? Are you confident?
I'm nervous.
You're nervous? Why are you nervous? Just curious.
Just the off-air riff we were doing really psyched me out.
Yeah, so we decided to structure things a little bit differently. We've come up with three games, and we're each going to ask one question to each other about these games. Would you like to let the audience know what games we're talking about?
Yeah, we've selected a very interesting mix of games. We've selected Hades, Minecraft, and Untitled Goose Game.
Hades, Minecraft, and Untitled Goose Game. We're going a little local with that last one. Now, we both played a fair bit of Hades.
Yes.
We've both played a bit of Minecraft.
I've played a bit more than a bit of Minecraft.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Recently or?
Over December.
Over December. Okay. I have not played Minecraft. Like, I played it a lot when I was like 15, but I have not played it much since, like, probably high school, really. Untitled Goose Game is a wild card, I think.
Yep.
Yep. Well, we'll get straight into it. Actually, you know what? You hit me with your first question for Hades.
Question number one. What are the three things that Patroclus can give you? So, just in Elysium, there's a vendor.
Yes.
And he gives you three things. Either name them exactly or describe them.
All right. Well, I know that one of them is the Kiss of Styx, I believe it's called. It replenishes all of your Death Defiances.
Correct.
And it's the one that basically everyone goes for. There's one that gives you like a 35% attack bonus, I believe, for the next 5 chambers, I think.
The attack bonus is right. It's 60%, but you got the attack bonus.
Yep.
And there's one more.
And then there's one that... Oh my god. I want to say it gives you money, but I'm not 100% sure on that. No, it's not an upgrade. Well, there's my quiz music. My time's up, I think. I'll say there's one that gives you 20% or 200. It gives you gold whenever you enter a new chamber.
It gives you gold, correct. Ding, ding, ding.
What are their names for the other two?
Kiss of Styx, you got right.
Yep.
If you're using Death Defiant, the Hydrolife Gold.
Hydrolife. Yep.
And the Cyclops Jerky Select.
I knew it was jerky something, like something jerky, but I was not sure. All right.
That was impressive.
All right. Well, you in our break were talking about your excellent knowledge of Greek mythology.
Yes.
What is the name of the protagonist of Hades 2?
No way.
I'll give you
some. Protagonist?
The character who's been featured in all the trailers. Protagonist, yeah. Oh. Not the antagonist. That's too easy. Do you think you know it? Or do you think you might be able to get it?
If I had a clue, no. I've got nothing. I know who the antagonist is, and I know some of the characters featuring it, but I don't know the main character's name.
Okay. Well, who is the... you know what? Give me the antagonist and the name of the kind of guiding character.
Yeah, you got Kronos as the antagonist, and you got Hecate as the mentor.
All right. I'll give you a point for that. Mostly for Hecate, because Kronos is pretty easy. Given that you gave me a point, even though I didn't have like the numbers exact, I'll give you a point for that. It's Melinoe. I think that's how it's pronounced. I'm not 100% sure. Yep. All right. I'll hit us with the first Minecraft question. So we're on one all.
Yeah.
What is the enchantment needed to mine stone blocks? Oh, your eyes went wide.
The enchantment needed?
Yeah, to mine stone blocks.
Stone blocks?
Yeah.
You need... enchantment for what?
To mine stone blocks.
I'm so confused.
Why are you confused?
You need a wooden pickaxe?
No, because that gives you cobblestone.
Silk touch. Silk touch. Sorry.
All right. Yeah, you got it. It's silk touch.
That was a good question.
Thank you. Hit me.
Mine is an easy one for any Minecraft veteran. How many diamonds do you need to make a full set of armor?
A full set of armor. Oh, okay, let me just count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, 1, 2. Yeah, 5 for a helmet.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 for a chest plate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 13. Mm-hmm. Is that my math right? Yes, 13. Wait, is legs just 2 on each side? 17. No, it's 19, isn't it?
27. You got...
Oh, wait, pants. I forgot about pants.
Yep.
I just fully forgot that pants were a thing. I was like, oh, yeah, so the chest plate and then the feet, right? Yeah. No, I just forgot that pants are a thing, just in general, apparently.
Yeah. You need pants for an outfit.
You do, yeah.
Sorry, Zach.
I'm so sad about that, honestly, because, yeah, I definitely could have counted that.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Untitled Goose Game. Let's go local. What have you got?
I've got a hard one.
Oh, no.
To get the achievement beautiful, you need to collect flowers from each region and bring them back. And you got to, like, plant them. How many different flowers are there?
I'm not an achievement hunter, so I'm going to put myself on a timer. All right. So there's the garden. Then there's the second place, the third place, the fourth place. I'm going to say 5, but it might be like 7, but I'm going to say 5.
Locked in 5?
Yes.
Yeah. You're on the right track. It's just one from each place.
So it's 5?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because I'll be honest, I forgot how many places there were. I was like, there's at least 3. There might be 6 or 7. And I also thought maybe one, like the house has 2, but I wasn't sure. All right. In the first area of the game, what do you have to do with the rake?
You have to make the farmer step on the rake so he hits
it. Oh, that's true. That's not the one I have down.
Oh.
But that is true. Where do you need to put the rake?
Oh, rake in the lake.
Rake in the lake! Rake in the lake! All right, I think you win that one.
No, that was tied.
Minecraft. Yeah, I forgot pants. Just as a concept. So we'll give you your reward next time. I don't know what your reward will be, but we'll figure it out.
Hit us up on Instagram if you were following along with that quiz. It was a bit impromptu, but if you played either of the games, let us know as well.
Yeah, or hit us with a question, you know? Challenge us. See if we have that gaming knowledge, if we're real gamers. Ravindu, how you going?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great. You won the quiz, so you should be doing great.
Yeah.
You should be doing better than great, honestly. If I had won the quiz, I would be doing like ecstatic.
I like to be humble. I'm still a guest.
You like to be humble? Nah, you're a member of the team. Anyway, you're going to be not quizzing me, but like questioning me.
It's an informal interview.
Informal interview. Yeah. What are we tackling?
We're talking about LARP today.
LARP. Now, I've spoken about LARP on the show a little bit before, but never with a guest. Have you ever been LARPing?
I have not. No, ooh. We've talked about it, but no, I've not LARPed. And I'm pretty sure my partner would break up with me if I do.
Wow. Well,
don't let that stop you guys from LARPing.
If you are into LARP, let us know on Instagram at player1syn, player1syn, what that's like for you. And Ravindu, take it away.
Yeah, I just want to start off with, what is LARPing? Yeah, the first time I heard this acronym, I was like, what does it mean?
True. So, LARP, L-A-R-P, Live Action Role Play. So, it's kind of like playing a tabletop game like D&D, only you're not at a table and you're usually wearing some form of costume and playing the character in real time. And there's different forms of LARP. Honestly, the place I go to isn't that heavy on the role play. They have roleplay events, but it's mostly just kind of the game, the battle game itself. But then there's also, I think they're called parlor LARPs, which are pretty much like, almost like the LARPing equivalent of like a one-shot where it's much more theatrical and there's less focus on like combat and more so focus on the story. So it can be run in a lot of different ways. There's not really like a one-size-fits-all. It would be like saying, what is a tabletop RPG? What is TTRPGs?
Right,
like,
yep.
That question has a million answers. Okay. But that's kind of the broad strokes. Like, even something like, you could kind of consider like paintball or even laser tag loosely you could consider that almost a form of LARP, right? Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, those airsoft guys go intense. So, oh, yeah. Yeah. I get what you mean with that analogy.
Yeah.
How did you get into LARP?
Yeah. So I was going to go to a theater show with a friend, and then my friend couldn't make it, so we rescheduled, and I was like, huh, I have nothing to do tonight. And I knew, I was in the city, and I was like, I knew that the place I went to, Swordcraft Melbourne, I knew it was a thing, because I had just literally just gotten curious and Googled Melbourne LARP one day, and it came up. So I was like, you know what, tonight's the night. Tonight I'm going to go, maybe I'll just watch, maybe I'll join in. I was wearing chinos and a polo shirt, which is not the greatest outfit for running around on a football field.
It's the smart casual look.
The smart casual look. Yeah, a bit immersion breaking, I'll be honest, but then they don't expect new players to have any outfits prepared ever. But yeah, so I was just like, just decided to rock up. I was originally just going to kind of watch for a bit, but then I was like, you know what? Why not? Let's jump in. Let's do it. It was very fun.
That sounds amazing.
It was very fun. It was very fun. And yeah, I kept going. I'm a little on and off. I actually didn't go last week because I was busy. But I've been trying to like go a bit more consistently this year so far.
You said there was combat. Explain what the combat is in LARP.
Yeah, so again, it'll depend on kind of the LARP that you go to. Some places will have sort of D&D-esque systems where you might, like, roll dice to determine what happens because people can't really do a lot of physically impossible things. And again, that's pretty common in, like, parlor LARPs, especially, like, vampire LARPs are a really big genre.
Really?
Yeah, vampire LARPs are a huge genre.
Like, masquerade type?
I've never been to one, so I don't really know. Okay. All I know is they're a thing. But I believe a lot of kind of conflicts end up being solved with, like, dice rolls.
Okay.
At Swordcraft, it's based on, there's, like, a German term for it, I believe, because it, like, evolved out of German LARP, but I don't know what it is. But the idea is, like, your character can do what you can do. So if you want to play a fast character, you just have to run fast. If you want to, like, use a bow, you have to use a bow. And it's using, like, LARP-safe, like, weapons and whatnot, so, like, they're made of, like, foam and latex, so they don't actually cause any injury, and you are, like, they're very strict on safety of, like, the reason new players have to run, like, with the new players, regardless of what they've done before, is for safety reasons, so they know players will be safe around each other.
Yeah.
The idea is to, like, you want to hit someone with enough force that they notice it, but not enough to actually cause any injury, obviously.
Yeah.
And be, like, careful and mindful of that. And even the arrows, they're, like, made of, like, a blunted foam end, things like that. So, yeah, that's the combat is, like, sword fighting.
Actual combat,
yeah. Obviously, you can only get so realistic with foam swords. So there's still a lot of elements of, like, suspend your disbelief, play the game, but have some fun with it. You know, people will be over the top and dramatic, and that's kind of the charm. And yeah, there's a lot of different choices in terms of weapons. I personally am partial to the sword and board, the sword and shield. But, you know, people will use two-handers. You've got people who will use, like, dual-wielding axes and things like that. Bows, like I said earlier. My favorite is when two people decide to do a dagger fight. So they just pull out little daggers and just... That's all they're using to just try and hit each other. It's very funny. Very entertaining.
Does it hurt at all?
Look, they're pretty strict on safety, like I said, and expect to, like, maybe take a couple of knocks, but generally people are pretty good about it. It probably hurts about as much as, like, if someone kicks a soccer ball moderately hard and that hits you somewhere. Like, that's kind of the maximum level of injury you can really expect.
Right.
And if people are being unsafe, they will just get, like, kicked off the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is very good, because it very much encourages that, like, careful and being aware that people are there to have fun.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
It is fun.
Zach, do you have a character?
No. So, again, I've only ever really played in, like, the battle games, because, again, Swordcraft do hold, like, actual roleplay events where people get more into character. I've never been to them. I have ideas for kind of, if I do go to one of those, what I'd like to lean into, but I'm not really sure yet. And there's a bit of a barrier of, like, you need to figure out what sort of equipment do you want to make and how are you going to, like, figure all that out. So there's, like, some barriers there as well of, like, trying to figure that out as well. There's a big emphasis kind of in the community on, like, learning to make your own, like, clothing and, like, a lot of, like, armor and things like that. Kind of people learn to make it themselves. So there's that really big emphasis, and I just have not done any of that. Now, Swordcraft specifically is based on Warhammer. Are you familiar with Warhammer, like, at all?
Yes, I have played a little bit more.
Okay, Old World or 40K?
40K.
So they base their lore off of Old World. I'm specifically thinking of playing a Slaaneshi cultist, which is one of the Chaos Gods.
Interesting.
So that's kind of where I'm leaning towards. But we're not really sure yet, and we'll have to figure that out and talk to some people as well. Because you kind of, there's a very much like a team playing mentality of like, you know, you talk to people, you want to join their team, you chat to them, and you kind of build that up together.
Yeah, just like in D&D. You don't want to be an edgelord rogue all the time.
Like, you can do that. Like, there are people who will play villains all the time, but I think you have to have a very specific mindset to play a villain is what I've determined by kind of watching the crowd of like, if you're playing a villain, you kind of have to play to lose a little bit.
Right.
You don't want to lose on purpose.
Yeah.
You want to make it fun.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, the people, heroes have to win, kind of, sort of deal. So you kind of got to go in with that mindset.
It really reminds me of theater. Like, you said you missed out on going to the theater, but then you ended up, like,
the theater kid energy is very strong.
You're basically acting. Yeah.
It's like there's a lot of... Here's the thing. There's no pressure, which is what I like, is, like, there's no pressure to be in character. If you don't really want to, that's kind of okay, as long as you're not ruining it for other people. And that's what I appreciate, is, like, you can kind of go as far with it as you want to. So, yeah, it's fun. And I do recommend, if you're interested, just give it a shot. Like, find your local LARP and just try it.
I was going to say, give us, like, one tip.
One tip.
Just one tip before we...
Okay, Swordcraft-specific tip, wear gloves. So they give you a sword and shield for your first night. And the shield, like, because they're shields that they, like, you know, use for new players. Yeah. Like, they've kind of worn down a little bit. And I got really bad friction burn. I actually still have, like, a tiny, tiny scar on my hand from where I got friction burn.
Oh, my God.
And so now, like, the first thing I decided to do was find, like, an old pair of, like, sports gloves that I bring every time now. Wear gloves.
Stay safe.
Save that. Save yourself that, like, issue. Just wear gloves. But, like, my actual piece of advice is... really jump into it. Don't be afraid of, like, losing, or don't play to win. You know, there's, and this applies more for, like, sort of the battle games. Swordcraft's kind of the big one, but there's a few around Melbourne, at least, that I've heard about. Play to just get involved. Like, get into fights that you might lose, and, you know, play characters that you aren't sure about, and just jump into it with as much as you can, because that you will get more out of it. And also talk to people. People who are into LARP, it's very much a similar vibe to D&D, where once you start them talking about it, they will want to keep talking about it. Like, if you go to a D&D player and ask them to tell you about their campaign, they will.
Yep.
We are evidence of that.
The whole reason I'm here is because I want to talk about D&D.
Yeah, so people are very willing to talk about it and very willing to, like, help new players. And definitely, like, you know, let them help you. They will be happy to, and it will make the game more fun, is my kind of recommendation. After the break, we're going to be coming back talking a bit about Hades 2 and our predictions / wants for that game. Very keen, because that's like my most anticipated game.
Oh, I'm so high for it.
Yeah. Ravindu, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
Oh, we've gone up to fantastic. Is it because we're talking about Hades?
Yes.
Yeah, so Hades 2 is slated for release, I believe, second half of this year, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Sometime this year.
Hopefully sometime this year. And
fingers
we
crossed.
Both love Hades 1.
Yes.
How did you get into Hades 1? Did I recommend that to you?
I think I found it independently. I was, like, scrolling through, like, list of games. Ooh, roguelike, Greek mythology, ticks my boxes.
Yep.
And I just instantly fell in love with it.
Yep. So this is kind of a, I guess this can be a predictions and a what we would like to see. I want to make some predictions for what Hades 2 will be like, though, and see if we can nail anything.
All right. Go for it.
First of all, Hades 2 will not have a multiplayer, but it will have multiple playable protagonists. I'm fully expecting Zagreus to still be playable.
Ooh, that's a good one.
But I don't think it'll have a multiplayer. I've heard some people say it might have, like, local co-op. I think that would be very cool. I don't think it will.
I think that would be so intense, and just, especially in higher heats, not going to work out.
Yeah, but we will see. So that's kind of my immediate prediction is, yeah, I would be very surprised if Zagreus isn't playable in some form.
Yeah.
But my second prediction, I think there's going to be a Zagreus boss fight.
Whoa.
There's got to be.
I don't know.
I am not, like, 100% sure, but I think it would be such a missed opportunity if there's not... There's got to be a cool fight against the previous game's protagonist. There's got to be.
That would be cool.
It would be so cool.
We can't really tell anything from the trailers, because that's all
no,
we're going
that's why
off.
I want to make predictions.
Yeah. That would be cool. Just, yeah. Lock
yeah.
it in.
Have you got any predictions?
I don't have any sweeping predictions like that.
Ooh.
I do...
I also am writing these down.
Yeah, I see that. More some obvious ones. More weapons. I think they're going to introduce a magic system, replacing the little blood crystals with a proper magic system.
Hecate, goddess of magic.
Exactly. Or just a quote unquote magic weapon, where instead of the gun or the bow, you're throwing out firebolts.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I definitely see there being a more detailed magic system. Have you played any of Supergiant's other games?
No.
No, okay. I've played Bastion. And I have not played Transistor, but I have played Bastion, which is one of theirs. And Bastion was one of their earlier ones. It doesn't really have anything in the way of magic. It kind of is... You can feel the DNA for Hades kind of in it a little bit. So yeah, it'll be very interesting to see if they go in that direction. Because one thing that kind of is interesting about Hades 2 is it's the first time they've done a direct sequel.
Mm.
They've never done direct sequels to any of their games. They've only ever just made their game and then move on to the next project.
Yeah.
Hades was massive, so it's not surprising. So it's interesting to see where they'll go with it. What gods do you think they'll add?
So we did see in the trailer there was Nemesis, there was Apollo. I think they're going to fill out the Olympian roster a bit more, so I think they're going to include Hera.
Yeah.
Maybe Hestia, goddess of the hearth.
Yeah, I could see Hestia being included. I think Hera is a 100%.
Yeah.
Hera will almost a given.
Yeah.
I think because they kind of go for the mythology theme of family, which is a big thing in Greek myth.
Mm-hmm.
It's massive. I think they will double down on that with Hera being included.
Yeah.
100%. Do you think they'll cut any of the gods?
I think they probably would. Just some, like, maybe off the top of my head, if they were going to cut some ones, like, Aries, Dionysus, Aphrodite, maybe.
I was probably going to say Aphrodite, Dionysus. I think if they're introducing Apollo, they have to keep Artemis.
Yep.
There might be some overlap there in terms of theming, but again, if we're going for that sort of, I think they'll double down on the family, like, plot line.
Mm.
I think they have to keep the siblings. Athena, I think they have to keep.
Mm.
Also, I like my Divine Dash.
I was going to say DDs.
I need my Divine Dash. Oh my God. Poseidon and Zeus, yeah, they'll keep, I reckon. Poseidon, I think they could give or take, to be honest.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I would be very surprised if they got rid of him. Like Aphrodite, Dionysus, and Ares are the three that I'm like, these could possibly go.
If they're not going to cut any, if they want to keep the existing roster, just like as NPCs or like no boons in game.
Mm.
Like introduce new boons, but keep the old gods as like there to like...
Yeah. As characters. As like supporting cast. Yeah. Is there anything from the first game that you would want to see like changed or improved? Do you have any gripes with Hades 1?
I want a sandbox game. Sandbox game mode. I don't know.
How would a Hades sandbox mode work?
No, just like every room, you know what's in there. Like, I just want to make this super OP build by the end of it.
Right.
And sometimes I miss out on like that one boon. Like, I don't care about like all the achievements and speedrunning. I just want this cool build and make it work. And just like have fun with it.
Yeah, fair.
Like, yeah.
I think actually, prediction, I think there's going to be a horde mode.
Oh.
I think there's going to be a horde mode.
Vampire Survivor.
Yeah. No, I genuinely, I think there'll be some form of like endless or horde mode.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Write that down.
I'm writing that. I'm adding that to the list. Endless / horde mode. I think that would be very cool. And I think that would also make a lot of sense for the gameplay style. I'm trying to think in terms of character, if there's anything.
I've got something.
Ooh.
Some like time-based ability.
Oh, because Kronos. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think that a lot of the plot of this game will involve going deeper into Tartarus rather than trying to get out.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see more evil-ish characters.
Yeah.
I think Tantalus will appear as an NPC.
Mm.
Are you familiar with Tantalus?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, Tantalus is an NPC. And I think we'll see the judges of the underworld. I can't remember. I know Midas is one of
Midas
them.
Is
I cannot remember the other two's names.
Minos?
I think so.
Midas, Minos, someone else.
But I think Tantalus NPC and the three, or the judges of the underworld.
I think if we're going that route, Syphilis and Rocky might make an appearance in that same bad people in Greek mythology.
Yeah.
He would just like, you know, show up in the underworld again.
And one more. I want to meet Daedalus. This is a want, not a need. I want Daedalus to appear.
Oh, that would be cool.
Because you get the hammers. I want Daedalus himself.
True.
Because I think they could do is move the upgrades over to like Hephaestus.
Mm.
Maybe. I think that could be very fun.
True. I forgot we didn't have Hephaestus in the first one.
Yeah. I always thought it would be really cool if he showed up, but at the same time, it's like there is kind of design overlap there. So, eh. Anyway, let us know if you're keen for Hades 2. Do you have any predictions we can add to the list? We'll shout you out if you get them right and shout you out if you get them wrong anyway, because it's fun. We like shout-outs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are listening to Player One here on Sin, and for the last time tonight, Ravindu, how you going?
I'm doing fantastic.
You're doing fantastic?
Still on the hype.
Oh, still on the Hades 2 hype train. Even just during that music break, we just spent the whole time talking about, like, Hades 2.
I'm so excited for it.
My easily most anticipated. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful little gaming journey. We have spoken all about, you know, Hades 2 and getting into LARP. The quiz, as always, massive congratulations to you, Ravindu. You really smashed that one out of the park. 3 out of 3.
Thank you.
Compared to my 2 out of 3 because I forgot the pants existed. Insane. as well as talking about what we've been playing, just running through them again. Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon, Inscription, Okami, Two Point Campus, Magic Survival, and The 11th Beast. Get on them if you're interested, and let us know what you've been playing over on Instagram, at Player1Syn, Player1SYN. Make sure you check out the podcast with previous shows. If you're listening to the podcast right now, hi, thanks for listening. If you're listening live, hi, thanks for listening live. And yeah, thank you so much for listening, everyone. Any final words?
Get hyped for Disney Epic Mickey Rebrushed.
Epic Mickey
that's
Rebrushed.
That's my final statement.
Your final exam.
Yes.
Alright.
You've been listening to Player One, a Syn Media program. Syn is a radio station in Naarm, Melbourne, for all young people aged 12 to 25. You can listen to Player One live Monday nights from 8 p.m. on 90.7 FM, DAB+, or the Syn website, syn.org.au. Tell us what you've been playing on our Instagram, at Player1Syn. That's Player1SYN, all one word. And make sure to tell your friends about the show.